Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, Red Talks. You already know what it is. Like, comment and subscribe. If you haven't, make sure you go over to the YouTube and subscribe to the YouTube. We're dropping, majority of the content is going on the YouTube. It's not going anywhere else. So if you want to find out what man's on or what man's doing, it's only to the YouTube you're going to see. So yeah, shout out. And today I'm joined by my cousin, who's been a little bit absent of recent.
With you.
But yeah, I'm joined by my cousin. Introduce yourself, cousin.
Hey, people. It's at DivineLady23. It's good to be back. I hope you guys are all blessed.
Yeah, we're very blessed, but we've missed you, so we need some explanations from you.
I missed you guys too.
What has been going on and why have you been missing? Because people might think that we've fell out or something, and I hate when people have that. We have to be very clear.
We don't fall out, literally. We don't fall out. We have our own debates. We have our own differences of opinions. But we don't fall out. If there's something I need to be checkmated on, my cousin's going to checkmate me on it. If there's something he needs to be checkmated on, I'll checkmate him on it. We just don't do that foolishness on camera. There's never any beef like that. Do you know what I mean? If there's something I need to discuss with him, I will. But that's not why I wasn't around. So I'm not sure if a lot of you know, but I was going through grief. So because I recently lost my mum, and before that we lost our cousin, and we've also recently lost an uncle. So when you're trying to navigate through those different emotions of grief, sometimes you're not always the most sociable. And, you know, it felt like my whole life had fallen apart, to be honest. And I was struggling with it. Going through grief, going through a breakdown of a relationship. It's a lot of emotions to navigate. So I had to take some time out to heal and, you know, do some spiritual work so that when I do come forward, I can be the best that I can be, you know what I mean? Put in the correct effort. And I think sometimes you have to stop. Sometimes things will happen in life that give you no choice but to stop and deal with certain things. And I think although people always say to me, oh, you dealt with your abuse, you dealt with certain things, you're strong, da-da, I realised there was still a lot I hadn't unpacked. And then obviously my mum passing away just literally dug all of that up. So I had to deal with that, literally.
And do you think it's something that you'll ever be able to deal with, or it's something that it's ongoing for you?
If I'm honest, I think it's ongoing. I don't think it's something that you can ever get over, if I'm all honest. And when you say that, do you mean in terms of the grief or the child abuse? Because
all of it, especially, with the child abuse, I feel like you've become a stronger person than you was yesterday, because you've had good relationships. You're a great mother. Mm-hmm. You're a great cousin, good friend. Yeah. So I feel like with that, you've learned since you've been speaking about it and been more open. Mm. But I feel like that's your way of dealing with it.
Yes,
but
it
is. Getting hit with your mum dying.
Yeah, that.
And then you have to be the one that is arranging the funeral and dealing with everything.
Yeah, that was really hard. That I struggled. I still struggle with it some days, if I'm honest. And
especially if people know your real story and know how integral your mum was into your life story of everything else that happened.
Yeah.
It's like, it's deeper.
A lot of people don't even know I don't have access to the house. A lot of people don't know I've suffered from lies being told on me since I actually had the strength to fully, really speak out about what happened. you know, I've been called, told, lies have basically been told that I took drugs, I made up the story. So it was a lot of things to unpack. I didn't have access to my mum's house. You know, there was many different parts of it that I needed to try and maneuver through. And even just the fact that we didn't get to speak, that was a real psychological mess up for me, like mind F.
And then she went.
Yeah, because I felt like, I actually felt like, raw, like, I don't even know what life I have. Like, it's like I was a new person, but I hadn't fully transitioned to my new person. I'm still in the middle stage. So I can't go back to my old life, but I haven't quite reached my new life, whatever that may be. So I kind of struggled with that a lot. Then I got to the point where it's like, okay, if I just honest and say, look, I'm really struggling. I know I look like I'm okay. And people always say, you're so strong, Shah, da, da, da. But I wanted people to see, no, I'm actually really vulnerable. Like, sometimes I could just be flicking through the internet and see something and it would just make me cry. Like, I think some days you can even say boo to me and it will make me cry. And then having to deal with the relationship breakdown as well. It was a lot of things for me to unpack because I wasn't prepared at all.
And then Nana died.
Yeah, then my uncle passed. So
that was kind of, like, we kind of, if I'm honest, all of us in the family, because of everything he's been going through over the years, we was kind of, I wouldn't say that we're waiting, because that's not a nice way of to like put it.
But we was
preparing that something eventually might happen, because they told us before that he weren't going to make it.
Yes, he did.
And he made it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, now we're like, oh, now he's actually gone, but then it's really of the how the family's taking it, especially Miss Gray. I have to give it out to Miss Gray. A shout out to Miss Gray, man.
I think we've taken it
because Miss Gray's gone through a lot.
I
as well.
I think we've had moments where we haven't taken it well in a sense.
Well, grandma's gone through a lot though.
Yeah, no, defo.
She's lost a grandson.
Yeah, she's lost more than one grandchild, and obviously two children. And I think it does create a lot of issues. Like, if you notice, whenever there's a funeral or someone's passed away, it can cause contention, because I think everyone's dealing with their emotions in different ways.
Yep.
And then it causes argument. And it's not that you want to fight. You don't want to fight, but everyone's trying to process it differently. And I think just because I'm honest with my emotions doesn't mean that everyone else is. And also recently I've understood, a lot of people said to me I'm intimidating, which I don't like, because I don't ever want to be intimidating.
Who said you're intimidating?
Loads of people say that to me and I'm like, so...
Who said you're intimidating? Because whoever said that is a... They're a clown.
People say, no, I am intimidating.
No, because...
And they don't know what man I'm going to find because I'm intimidating. No. And it's not that. I'm just not the average chick. Now, I don't want to talk to you about lace fronts. I want to talk to you about atoms and stars.
I know
that good stuff. Like,
I can't see
you know,
being intimidating. You may be a little bit argumentative sometimes.
Yeah, I'm very passionate when I'm ready to argue and debate about something.
That's because you know what you're saying, you say what you mean. So
that's
different to being intimidating. I don't find you intimidating at all.
That's what I thought. I was like, me, intimidating? I'm like, I'm a marshmallow. If you really know me, I'm very strong with my opinion. And I've had to learn to be this way. Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't like it to come across in a combative way, because even I saw the comments that people were making about, oh, like, she's really argumentative and da-da-da-da-da, and she's not letting man speak. But they don't know how we debate. They don't know that you've even told me you speak too quiet. He's told me, you speak too quiet. You have to speak up, because I mostly like to sit in my soft energy. But I know, obviously, I've got to bring some energy when we're doing a podcast, right? Mm. So if you're debating a point, and I'm like, no.
Nah, but there's always a time, you know, where things might get heated. It's just life.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
life. It's not heated to the point where it's disrespectful. It's heated in a way where we're disagreeing. So what?
Exactly.
I don't. That's not a measurement.
It doesn't take away. Yeah.
That's not a measurement of who you actually are, in my eyes, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't take away from anything. And I feel like, why can't we debate and have differences of opinions and still be respectful? And no, we're not always going to articulate it in the right manner. And even if you do articulate it in the best manner, there's always going to be someone out there that don't get it or has a problem, literally, you know? So... We know, obviously, the main aim is you know, positivity, we're uplifting. You're doing a good job trying to uplift men, which I think is extremely important because, yeah, no, I'm not just repping for the women. I'm not a feminist like that, so I have to make that clear. Like, I rep for men and women, you know, because I think we equally suffer certain things, so...
100%.
Yeah, but the grief, the grief thing is... It's crazy, you know?
And like, what have you been doing to, like, try and get yourself out of that dark place? Because obviously... It's a dark place that nobody can ever fully understand except for the person that's there.
To be honest, yeah, I said that to my friends. That's because my friends are really intelligent and they usually give very, they give great advice.
Mm.
My people around me generally do. They're safe space. Mm. I actually just had to be at one with God, to be honest, because I felt like no one could help me. It was a pain that nobody could help me with, if I'm honest. And that's, yeah, like, I'm still maneuvering through it. And sometimes I'm like, oh, it's 10 months. But, yeah, grief isn't something that you can actually put a time frame on. You know, especially when there's a lot of things to unpack with it, like child abuse. We didn't have that last conversation that we were supposed to have. And psychologically, it did mess me up because it was like all my hope had been snatched.
Mm.
So now I feel like, okay, well, where do I go from here? My old life no longer exists.
Yeah.
In that sense to me. So now, even little things, like I think, oh, now, like, I'm going to celebrate my birthday and be 40. It's a milestone. My mum's not here.
Mm.
Even just talking about it, see, like, now I feel emo. Mm. So, like I said, I've just had to go to God and just be very honest with the people around me because I think people are so used to me being strong that I'm like, no, I'm literally like fine china right now. Like, if you poke me, I could crack. Mm. So sometimes I will internalize it, like go into hermit mode, because I think that's my way of coping.
Yeah.
And they'd say as well, like, children who have suffered like abuse and stuff and didn't really have that person to go to tend to cope with their own situations as an adult by going into hermit mode. And I've noticed that is actually my coping mechanism. But it usually helps me, to be honest, because, you know, like I said, I'm praying. I have to pray a lot for healing and to unpack things and compartmentalize it, because there was so much to unpack, literally, you know. And even though I did the podcast on the abuse, it didn't touch on half of what I went through or what we went through. You didn't touch on a smidgen of it, you know.
It's sad that you've gone through so much and only speaking about it now. So that means that you've been carrying that for years. What advice would you give to someone who's out there that's younger, that's been through something and they're holding it in right now? What would you, if you could speak to that person, what would you say to them? They've gone through that.
Okay.
And their situation is exactly the same as yours.
Oh, like with the family,
your mom, everything. Like, what advice would you give to that person?
Be kind to yourself. I've had to learn to be kind to myself because I've always been the one that's been kind to people. And actually speak out. You know, because a lot of the time we're so busy protecting everybody else while we suffer in silence. I held mine in for like 26 years. I spoke out 15 years ago, but it was held in mainly for like 26 years. And even then, I still feel like I was a little secret. I still felt like even family members didn't know how to really address it. So I felt like people just swept it under the carpet.
I feel like they do that a lot, and this is not me being...
I really want kids to speak out. I want adults to speak out, even if you're 50 and you're 60. The more you sit with it, it affects you. It's affected me in so many different ways, like my weight, you know. So I really, really want to encourage people out there.
I think you make it sound a little bit too loose. You said child abuse. I would put what happened to you as paedophilia.
Yeah, well, sexual abuse, child molestation.
That's what it actually was.
Yeah.
There's no way of trying to contextualize it. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Because child abuse sounds like, oh, you just got beaten or something like that. Like, we need it to be very, very clear.
Trying to cover all of it. Yeah, it was child sexual abuse as well as violence, as well as narcissistic behavior and manipulation and mind effery, you know. And how we're treated as kids really shapes us,
as adults, you know.
It really does, like... that now I'm still soft though, for some reason I have still managed to be soft. I cannot deny that. Before, I used to fight against that side of me. I hated it because I felt like people took advantage. But now I've learned, embrace who you are, but cultivate your circle and have people around you that, you know, you can be yourself with. You can say, like, you know, I'll be real with you and be like, cuz I'm struggling, that's why I'm late, or do you know what I mean? And that's me being real. And I'm mindful because I don't obviously want it to get worse. But if I don't tell you, then you're not going to know what I'm struggling with, you know? And I've learned to allow myself to cry in front of you guys.
Yeah, but I want you to always know that I'm always here. Like, forget the cameras, all this right now. But I'm saying, like, if you ever need, man, like, to talk to, man, you know I'm always there, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. Cool. I know. Cool. I know. And I know that I'm lucky. I cultivated a really good circle of beautiful people. I feel so blessed to have those people in my life, like, to have you guys, you know. But this journey, I felt like I kind of was alone in a sense of, yeah, only God could help me, man.
Yeah.
Only God could help me.
There was times in life where it's like that. It's like when I was alone in myself and I was doing my little time and, you know... No one could help me at that moment. It was only God, if I'm honest, that I could speak to at that time. And if I'm honest, that was the best person that I could have. That was the best thing I ever done, because that showed me how to cope through life when things are getting really difficult. Because in life in general, not every day is going to be a great day.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, not every, and that's why I told men to speak up about their mental health and not to be silent. I feel like anyone, I'm not saying come to the internet and then like do lives for hours talking about someone.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, don't be afraid to sit down with someone and say,
definitely,
this is what's happened to me and I'm still feeling the effects of it. And you know what I'm saying? And the person listen to you without judgment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
it was hard. I'm not even going to say it was. It is hard. So hard. Like, and I think what made it harder for me was that not everyone's kind. Like, you realize there's like people are very insensitive, and just everyone's in their own little bubble, which I think, you know, it's that happens, but I think we need to be more mindful as human beings that everyone's suffering in their own way. Everyone's just trying to find their way through life, you know. And yeah, grief is a really difficult emotion to maneuver, because some days you're fine, you're good and everything's up and you are genuinely coping, but then next week it's like a tsunami just hits you and you're like, what the hell? And you are so emotional. You've got anxiety, you don't want to go out, you don't want to speak to people, you know. I don't know, if I had kids, if I would have even left the house. And that's the truth.
That's mad.
Because for me, I think, because we didn't have the conversation, I was probably took for granted that we had time. Time is an illusion, you know. I also think if you can heal relationships that have maybe broken down or gone through a rough patch, then you should do that, if the person's obviously going to work on it just as much as you're going to work on it, whether it's aunties, cousins, partner, because I think we leave a lot unsaid, and I believe we don't communicate enough as human beings. You know, like, we wait until it's too late, or we don't give people their flowers while they're here. I don't want flowers when I'm dead. I want flowers now. I want to feel good now. I want to feel loved now.
The problem is people don't... They say they never really miss you till you're dead and you're gone.
Mm.
That's the truth. No one really knows your value until you're not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's about... I feel like with loved ones, you can't leave like moments and years and days of bad feelings towards one another. I feel like you got to nip that in the bud as soon as possible so that you can have like a good life together. Does it make sense? So
yeah.
It's like for me personally, like imagine this, that like, you have a cousin, like I'll give Gizmo for an example, mm-hmm. yeah? I might have not spoke to Gizmo for 6 months, but with me we speak, it's love.
Yeah, but that's it.
I missed out on 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're gone, them 6 months feel like I should have been with you every day.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And we can't ever play this thing on our minds like it's our fault.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, to Allah we belong and to Allah we return. That's mm-hmm. how I believe anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Like he created us
mm-hmm.
and we're gonna go back to him.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time. So
definitely.
In hindsight, everybody's hair is temporal. Everyone.
Yeah.
The moment that you learn that, the moment you start to cherish things more.
Definitely.
Like I start to love you more because mm-hmm. I know my cousin ain't gonna be here forever.
Yeah.
But let me love her as much as possible mm-hmm. while she's here.
Yeah. Because
she's gonna go one day and I'm gonna miss her.
Yeah.
At least I know, bro, I spent time with you.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you spent quality time, we had great conversations, it was close. Like, if something was to happen, not to say I'd be like super distraught, but I'd be like, I'm happy. I spoke to her yesterday, she was happy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's the worst when the person goes and you never got to speak to them, so you don't know what they were going through.
Listen,
it's like, it plays with your
that's
mind.
That's what played with my mind, because I was like, imagine you haven't spoken to someone, your mum or one of your parents, yeah? Properly for 14 years. You see them, you say hi, bye. That's it. That's the relationship. And then randomly you get a message passed through someone that they want to reach out. They want to heal that. So now you've got to process that bit. So you're like, okay, you're processing that bit, right? They're ready to do the healing work. We're going to talk. Da 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 da.
Then?
And then the person passes away.
Deep. I feel like that's been the hardest thing for you.
Yeah,
it's not that everything has happened, because I feel like through it all, I feel like to a certain extent you've kind of forgiven her for certain things.
I always forgave her. It was just, to be honest, why it bothers me is,
does she know that you forgave her?
Yes. I'd never want any of my loved ones to think or to doubt, not know how I felt about them. That's the worst feeling. Because now you have to live with that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so much is left unsaid. And people always wonder why I always say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I say, I love you because I never want my people to not know for sure how I felt about them, regardless. So that's why I say, I love you.
Mm.
I always want my people to feel like, regardless, even if we had a big argument yesterday, if you really need me, I'm going to be there. That's just how I am. Mm. But don't take advantage of my love. That's it, you know? But that was the worst thing to know, especially your parent, you know, because your parents, they try. Our parents go through so much pain that they don't express to us.
So much.
To even know your parents passed away and they probably live with that in their heart, feeling like they let you down. My mum didn't let me down. She suffered just as much as I suffered. But we had to process things, you know.
And you think that makes you, like, as a parent, you think that's like made you a little bit more conscious of like your relationship with your children?
Definitely, yeah, most definitely.
So then that means it was a good thing then.
Yeah.
If you really want to look at the positive to it.
Yeah.
If it's made you be like,
yeah, me and my brother are closer. One of them.
Yeah.
Which, and I'm so grateful for.
Like, even with your daughters though, like I'm talking about, like, you always want that relationship to be a certain way now because you know. The things to not do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No matter what she's on, what she's doing, you know, I'm always going to be here for you. And you're always going to know the last words that I'm going to say to you every time I get off the phone to you or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Even if you get on my nerves and I want to beat you up,
mm-hmm.
I love you.
You're not going on 2 days or 3 days.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've told my daughter, even when she's grown up and she's married, if she's traveling anywhere, Mum needs to know everything. Flight, dear. I know you got a husband, but I still need to know. Like, you're good. You know, like that. I need to know. Even when she says, yeah, mum, when I'm like 20, I'm going to move out. I'm like, nah, I don't want you to move out. I want you to stay with me. Stay with me. She's like, to what age? I'm like, 26, 28. Then when you get married, you can leave. Because I don't think we do that enough. We push the children out too quickly. Mm. You know, family, we're meant to be together. I miss those old traditional days where, you know, the whole family just lived in one house together.
We can still do that if we get the mansion. Everyone's living in one yard.
Literally.
Different parts.
You know. We don't talk enough about stuff and hash out things. I hate leaving things unsaid. But I realise just because I like to talk doesn't mean everyone else does. And that's been one of the hardest things as well.
You know, I used to get mad at my father for like having the characteristic of like just saying what's on his mind, yeah?
Mm.
But as I started to get older, I started to realise.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's a power to that. Yeah. If me and you've had an argument, he's automatically telling you how he feels.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's on his mind and he sees you, he's just going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I used to hate that and be like, bruv, big man, like,
yeah.
You can't control yourself. Like, you can't wait 2 minutes. But as I got older, I've realised that maybe because of all the trauma he's gone through in his this is his way of making sure that he says what's on his mind so he doesn't die of it in his heart.
Yeah, internalise it. Does that make sense?
Instead of internalising it, let me express it. Because maybe I've internalised a lot
so
of things.
So much, yeah.
And now...
And
now I'm in this stage of my life where I've got children and I feel like you lot should be listening. Mm. Here's what I'm going to say. Mm. Whether you like it or not. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm a bit straight up like that with my kids. I do try to just chill sometimes, though, so they don't think I'm doing the most. Do you know what I mean? Like, I ain't trying to run them off. But I am very, like, honest with them, especially if they're a certain age. Like, my daughter's going to be travelling for the first time on her own for her 18th birthday. And I'm like...
Where's she going?
Mallorca. So I'm like, be careful, sex trafficking, did it? Because I panic about those things. Do you know what I mean?
No, man, it's very rare. It's very rare. Very rare.
She's a pretty girl, you know.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of pretty girls that go to Mallorca. Trust me.
Just travelling, though. You know, we just want them to be on their P's and Q's.
No, she's...
Because you can get out there and you get excited.
No.
You need your drink.
If you've taught her about certain things in your life...
I've drummed it in her head.
She's very aware of her body, her mind.
Yeah.
And
she is.
You know, sometimes we worry a lot about our children, but we should always know that if we've done a great job, then it's like, they are going to make mistakes.
No, what it is, I always say to her, though, it's not her I'm worried about, it's the people out there. I don't worry about her. I trust my daughter with my life. That's my my first daughter, yeah. All my daughters, I'm close to them. But my first child, yeah, if I didn't know any better, we were sisters in a past life. That's how close we are. Sometimes I say to her, is it normal for a mum and daughter to be this close? Like, you see my phone rang.
Mm.
It was my daughter.
Yeah, she's on
phoning me to get onto me to... Because I didn't let her know I had arrived. I get into trouble. And I'm like...
That's love.
I'm like, what? That's love. She's like, Mum, where are you? I'm like, I've arrived. She's like, yeah, but you didn't message me. You didn't phone me to tell me that you arrived safely. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
It's because she loves you and she wants to protect you.
Yeah, I could never go missing. My older daughter would come looking for me. Literally.
Say investigation thing.
Yeah. You see, if I finish work at 2 o'clock and I'm not home by 3 o'clock, 2:30, she's ringing me.
Where are you?
Yeah. And that's the question. Where are you? If I say I'm out, the next question is, out where? I can't say I'm out. Even though I'm the adult, I can't say I'm out. I can't just say I'm out. She needs to know exactly where I am. Because she's like, yeah, if I don't know exactly where you are, something happens to you, Mom. That's how she works, because I've drummed it into her.
That's love.
That's how I am with them. So now they've automatically become like that with me.
It's good, though. It's good for your children to have your back, though.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. They keep you going.
No,
my kids have kept me going. If I didn't have kids, I'm telling you, everything would get delivered to the door. I probably wouldn't leave the house.
Be a hermit. Probably depressed.
Yeah.
They give you that happiness. I feel like children give people a reason to live.
Yeah.
And this is to anyone out there that's thinking that there's no reason to live.
Yeah.
There's always a reason to live. You just got to find that reason and what it is.
Mm.
Some people find it in their children. Some people find it in their job. Some people find it in religion. Just find that reason to live and not to kill yourself. Because there's times in life where it feels like everything's against you. It feels like, you know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But there's always, you just got to find that reason. Yeah. And that's my advice to everyone out there. Find that reason of why to live. You know what I'm saying? If it's your children, then I'm happy for you. But find that reason.
Yeah. And if you are suffering any kind of abuse, please, please speak out. Do not hold it inside. I don't care if it happened to you 50 years ago. It is never too late to speak out. And yeah, you will get some like people who want to attack you for speaking your truth, but it still doesn't take away from the truth. I've been attacked since I came out with my podcast and my sexual abuse, my story about being molested as a child. You know, and the effects that it had on me, you know, it stole a lot of years of my life from me. It stole relationships from me, you know. Like, my youngest two, they didn't really get to know my mum. And those things pain me because I think, if only we had just spoken before.
And Joy was such a nice woman to children.
My mum was so beautiful.
Everyone loved her. She was a very good woman with children.
Like...
Bro. Everyone knows that that's one good thing about Joy.
Yeah.
You'll never take that away. Even
she
I knew that.
She had 15 kids in her house and know how to look after all of them.
I don't know even, not even like with like harshness or badness.
Nah, my mum was
I don't
not.
Even know how she just did it. She was just really good at looking after children. That's why she used to work in, she worked in Fence Stanton for.
Yeah, she was.
I don't even know how long. How long did your mum work in Fence Stanton?
She worked in different schools though, you know.
Did she?
She worked in a few different schools. Jubilee, Primary School, she worked in there as well.
She worked in, yeah.
Yeah, she loved it. She was good. It's funny because someone even asked me the other day, do I think I get like my spirituality, my love for God from my parents? And I was like, defo. Because even though my mum didn't like go, she used to go to church now and again. But then she got to a point where I think things happened in her life and she started saying she don't believe in God. Now, I knew my mum was spiritual, right? Mm. And I was like, definitely. Even just by... your parents' actions, you can know if you took some kind of goodness, spirituality from them. Like, my parents are so giving, so loving. And it's a shame that it takes for someone to pass away for you to really deep things and analyze it to these degrees.
Yeah,
you know, like, instead of just, why can't we make it a norm to highlight the beauty in someone? I think that's why I make people uncomfortable because I always want to highlight the good in people. I don't want to focus on the bad.
Mm.
I do like to see the good in people. I don't want to see the bad in... Not that it don't exist, but that's not the first thing I'm looking for. I always believe everyone's got good and bad.
100%.
It's a choice.
100%.
You know? The same way I went through certain experiences, but I still have made the choice to be a loving person. I like being loving. I like making sure everyone's okay. I like... building people up, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
It's really not. I feel like the people that have a problem with that are people that have a problem with themselves. The problem in themselves, because loving being around people that are positive and doing good things, that's a good thing. And bigging people up is a good thing.
Mm.
I feel like it's easier to put people down than to actually big them up.
Yeah.
I think it takes like letting go of your ego and pride sometimes.
Exactly.
To say that this person's great at what they do.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's easy to say, oh, that person's a shit, this mm-hmm. or that person's that. It's easy to say something negative over people. I feel like being a negative person is easier than being a positive person. Me, I have to force myself sometimes to be positive. And you have to. If you got children, even if you're having the worst day on the planet and they start smiling, it puts you in a positive mood.
Definitely.
That makes you want to do positive things. So even when they're like, I look at it like this. Them little kids that's watching you, they're looking to see a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense? If you show them any different than a rock, obviously you can be vulnerable around them.
Yeah.
But you still have to be a rock.
Exactly.
Because that's what they're going to radiate through life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
My kids know. I could be on the bed crying, sad about something. But make someone try step in that house to touch them. That's a whole different story. Forget that. I'm up. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Literally, because I'm the mama, isn't it? Those are my baby cubs, you know? But
so I think it's important.
I don't have a lot of ego like that in the terms of like not building people up or just paying people. I'll pay random people compliments, and sometimes you do get the odd stares like, but I'm like, what's so weird about it? Like, you look pretty. I'm telling you, look pretty. That just might cheer up your day. I don't know. I don't know what it took for you to even leave your house. So
do you know how deep it is?
I acknowledge it.
Do you know how deep it is? I do that, but not in compliments to other men. I'd be like, oh, yeah, wagwan, you're out, yeah?
Yeah, or if like, you just say
hello. A man would be looking at me like mad, like he wants to kill me or something. I'd be like, are you right, bro? Everyone go out. Have a nice day, man.
Yeah.
Or I just see someone and be like, spud. Like, and they'll be like, yeah, safe, man. Like, they'll feel so happy that someone acknowledged them.
Exactly.
And me, I'm a type of person, like, that's my natural self.
Same. Like, my nickname's natural called self. Sunshine.
Like, you can't, like, I might be moving mad with certain people. That's because I feel like they're disrespecting me. But in a general, like, on a normal day-to-day basis, I'll see someone.
And we don't like injustice as well.
No, of course
not. I think that's a part of our personality. So that's why we're always like, rah, 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 and it seems like we're going off. But wrong is wrong, innit? And 100%. Right is right. So
that's why, like, I'll see someone random and be like, oh, you're right, my bro. Bam. Like, everything bless, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, even one day I said to a man, yeah, like, keep being a great father. I just seen him with his daughters and they looked happy with him.
Yeah.
I just said to him, keep being a great father. He's like, oh, thanks, man.
And I bet he ain't even heard that.
He looked shocked. He looked like, you know, someone looks like, bro, like, where did you come from?
Yeah.
And I just walked off. I walked off with my head high. I don't care what he thinks or what he says. I just said my good words to him and I walked away. And the reason why I done that is because I went into a Chinese shop here for to collect a delivery, and I looked at the oranges, and the woman said, "Do you want an orange?" And I thought, I don't know this woman from anywhere, but I genuinely didn't like that orange.
Yeah,
like I needed that orange at that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, wow, she was—I didn't know her from anywhere.
Yeah,
why was she kind
like
to me?
That. I love people.
And that made
you guys make the world a better place.
But look,
like,
look at her kindness made me be kind to someone else.
Exactly, because you're supposed to pay it forward, right?
Do you see where I'm going
it's
with this?
It's a seed.
Do you see
every
what I'm
good
this?
Seed you plant, yeah, it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to plant good seeds. I have no issue planting good seeds. Like, I could see someone in the supermarket and they're like, you know, go for their little change to pay. I'll pay for your shopping if I've got it. Even if I don't have it, I'll still pay for it. You know why? The Most High always rewards a good heart. That's what I believe. And I just like seeing people happy. I love seeing people happy. I love seeing people feel accepted. I like to help people. It's just... And not because I think I'm Mother Teresa. It's just my nature. It's just the way I am. Like, I'm more of a yes person than a no person. Because I think a lot of time people say no. But you're just saying no because you can. And because you think it holds some kind of leverage over the person. That's not good. Like, I'm not going to just say no for the sake of it. Like, I'm more of a yes person. I just like helping people. I like people to feel confident. I think because I suffered a lot on my own as a kid... in terms of, like, of how I felt confident-wise and stuff, that any person I meet...
You want to instill confidence?
I'm going to leave something good with you, trust me. That's my mission. Even if I get on your nerves because I'm straight talking, because I will check you. We have honest relationships around here. But you're always going to remember something good that I've given you, trust me. That's a fact. Literally.
I feel like that is a beautiful thing, though. Just putting confidence and love and spreading that around the world onto other individuals is just a beautiful thing. And I feel like it takes a real special person to be able to radiate wherever they are. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't mean that everyone's going to like you, but it means wherever you go, you're going to leave a radiance on the planet. And I feel like that's the most... In life in general, isn't that what we're even... Part of what we've been here for.
Exactly. Like, that's the whole point. We think we're here for like monetary gain and all of that stuff, but we're actually not. We're here to build each other up and be kind.
And leave great impacts on people.
Exactly.
And let people, but like I said, not everyone's going to like you for whatever you're saying, but at least when they meet you in person, they can feel that radiance.
Sometimes your light will irritate the demons
inside of others.
In other people, but I say still shine your light anyway. Don't be egotistical and all of that, you know. But it's good to be humble. I'm humble. I'm a humble person. People look at me and look at the aesthetics and all of that and think, oh, you know, she's pretty, she got the nails, she got lashes, but that's not really me. I can be in the jungle with picky head singing Kumbaya and be happy. That's actually who I am as a person. No, literally, I could be in the jungle, in the bush, with a campfire, singing Kumbaya, and be very contented. That's the type of person I am. So when people look at the aesthetics and then that's what they judge on, I don't like that, because I feel like there's so much more to that. Like, aesthetically, you can look good, but it doesn't mean you're a beautiful person. It's like, what do you have inside you? What do you install in others? You know, are you a builder-up kind of type of person? Do you actually really radiate beauty? Because for me, real beauty is seeing someone in need, and you don't even have to know them or have the same blood or anything, and you're very happy to help that person just because of the humility in you. Like, that, you know what I mean? Do you know? Like, it's just, it takes nothing to be kind. It's free, even. Just like manners, it's free.
I like doing good things to people, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I feel good. I love seeing
But not just
smart.
The people that I love, people that I don't
people
even
full
love.
Stop.
Yeah.
Same.
Like a man was coming on with his story last night, talking about his story, and I've got a lot of compassion for others when they tell me their real life story, especially men. I know for a man, as a man, it takes a lot for men to come forward to speak our stories.
It does.
Like, I'm saying as a man, it will take every bit of strength for me to come forward to say, because I just don't want to talk about things that hurt my heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
So it takes a lot for me to speak up. So when another man's doing it, I've got to respect him for the courage, first of all, that he's come forward.
Yeah.
Because it's not looked at as a norm or a normal thing. You're
and
looked
people
at as
be cruel.
Yeah, yeah. People was, but the thing is, I'll just get onto you, but the thing is, I realise how hard it is for him, so I emphasise a little bit more of him. Not to say I don't emphasise with women, don't get twisted, but I just know as a man,
from a man's stance,
like, we never meant to tweak about anything that goes bad in our life. We're just meant to just firm it and just take it and just be like, that's the way
right,
the world
man.
That's it's a man's world, that's how it's meant to be. And to a certain extent, I understand that we have to be strong for our families, the backbone, all of that. We can't really be showing too much weakness, because then will people even accept us? I understand that. But if you are generally going through something that is troubling your soul to the point where you're starting to think that nobody in the world cares for you, you have to voice that before that voice starts telling you, just do it.
I would hate the thought of any male in my life, not being able to speak about something they've gone through. Do you know how high the rate of suicide is in men?
100.
I've always hated the thought that men are not allowed to speak how they feel. I've actually struggled in certain relationships because the guy's been conditioned so much, they don't speak on how they feel. Even though I'm trying to give you that safe space, but because you're so used to being bashed down or maybe even attacked
or used against you, you now don't
want to open up to me. And I'm a good, genuine
woman. I told a woman deep stuff once, and then one day we had an argument or something, or we fell out or something. And she used that thing that I told her against me. And she didn't know that maybe that was like the second time I've ever told someone in my whole life about that incident that happened to me. So it was a very touching thing to me. It's like you telling me something. When people's asking me, why was your cousin? I was like, oh, she'll be back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to say what you're emotionally
Yeah, of course. Does I know you're sense? Quite private. Do you like see what I'm saying? Yeah, you always give us our own space to articulate.
But I would never on the internet expose things that maybe you won't, might even be comfortable with me saying.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Just off the basis of that. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Unless you said to me fully, gave me permission, we had the conversation, you said, go on the internet, say this, then I'll say it.
Yeah, of course.
Because I know that I've got that thing, but that's the kind of person I am. I would never, like, even like certain relationships of the past, there certain women have done certain things to me and betrayed me and said certain things about me and lied against me. I know deep things about them that I would never reveal. Not because of them, but it's because of me.
Your integrity.
Yeah, I'm not that type of person.
Yeah,
you know
what
I'm saying? And I feel like that's lost with a lot of women. So men get to this point where
I've seen some mad things on the internet. Yeah. Like,
that's why a lot of men are they don't trust women
that
much.
They're closed
off. Yeah.
I know. And this thing is it's so horrible, because when you meet a good one, your defences are up, and sometimes we self-sabotage it, right? Because we're so used to people breaking our trust and using what we've told them, like, against us. I've been in a relationship.
Yeah, men do that as well.
That's why your family's fucked up. Did it? And I thought, really? That's why you don't have a relationship with your mum? Yeah, I've had people say that to me before.
That was a low blow.
I've even had friends tell me that I effed the person who molested me. I've had deep things happen. But I've still tried
Wait,
I've had friends be very malicious when they don't get their own way and have turned around and be like,
friends, you mean
like
another woman?
Bad. Yes. Women, what? They're the worst. They're the worst.
But no matter what angle, even if, all right, let's just say for argument's sake, that is true, yeah? You was a young girl, so even that is still child molestation.
Listen.
Like, you know what I was trying to say? I was trying to say this to a girl recently,
mm.
without revealing too much.
Mm.
She was 15 and she was having sex with a 30-something-year-old man, yeah? Now, she said it was consensual, it wasn't rape. I said, that's rape.
Yeah.
Whatever way you want to look at it, it's rape.
Yeah, because your age category is different.
If we go through the English law, it's rape.
Yeah.
If we go through that, you're as a young schoolgirl in school uniform and a big man's taking you to the hotel.
Yeah.
In your school uniform.
And he knows it's wrong and he's the elder. We know right from wrong. This but is why
school, I'm saying you're in your yeah. Even if you say for argument's sake he's 26 or 27, mm-hmm. 28, he knows he's bringing a schoolgirl to a hotel.
Yeah. It's
a virgin.
But you know what we need to touch on? And I'm a hot you women out there. Yeah, all you little paedophile women that think you can sleep with younger boys or guys. Yeah, you're nasty too. And trust me, on Judgment Day, you're going to have to answer. Because there's a lot of women who sleep with like 13-year-olds, 16-year-olds. What are you doing? That is child molestation too. But because it's a guy, people are just bigging it up because it's a young boy sleeping with older women. That's still molestation.
But like, you know the funny thing, I think we had this conversation on the man's podcast recently.
Yeah.
We said, if you caught your 14-year-old boy in bed with a 19-year-old girl, like as a man, what would you do? And it kind of threw me back, if I'm honest. It kind of threw me back because I said, this is just me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because of everything's going on in the world here with like not knowing sexualities and all of this, a lot of, as a parent, you are a little bit worried about your children to a certain extent. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, to a certain extent, as a man, you'd be like, all right, cool. He's straight. I'm cool. Because maybe kids are not going to show their parents at 14 what they're on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, this girl's older.
Yeah.
And she's having... Is she all right in the head?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm going?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing why a lot of guys don't talk about it. A lot of guys don't even know they've been molested because they just see it as the older woman sleeping with them. No, that is molestation. I don't care. Even if you've been forced as a child to wank off, watch porn, that's molestation. It's abuse. Literally, whether it's a girl child or a boy child. I know for me, I don't care. My son's 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and some big 20-something, 30-something-year-old woman gets caught messing with my child, it's war. I don't think she's going to even leave my house. I don't think, in all honesty, they will find her when I finish with her, literally. Because to me, I don't want to hear that my son's a big 14, big 15. I don't give a damn. He's still a child. That's still my baby. And I think we need to learn to protect boys just as much as we protect girls. We rarely do. We really, really do. Because a lot of boys are being molested and it's going unnoticed and it's not right.
Do you know the one that I feel like is in the worst position for that is a school teacher? Because it's like you're watching someone grow and you're finding them sexy. That's mad that you're going in the classroom and you're finding a young boy like...
Yeah.
Instead of wanting to teach him, you wanted to fuck him.
Teachers have been caught doing stuff like that and even gotten pregnant. And
bro,
I'm like,
I'm saying to you, there was a teacher in my school called Miss Boyle. You know who he was. Yeah, I'm baiting you up. You used to always come with your tits on the table. And like, she had big knockers. So she used to come and lean forward. Bruv, like, I'm a young boy, bro. I'm gonna look,
you don't over sexualize like, kids.
I'm gonna
like
look,
that.
I'm gonna lean back. One day I leaned back and I looked in like raw, like bare cleavage and that. And she's like, are you doing your work? But I'm looking at her thinking...
She knew what she was doing.
And then sometimes she'd argue with me, and then I'd feel like, this is kind of sexual.
Yeah.
Like, she's arguing with me, but like, we're arguing. Like, on some next kind of level.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, go out of the classroom. Then when I come out, she'll come out and she'll start speaking like mad sensual to me. Like, outside the classroom, she'd be like,
she was trying
no
to
one chats
you.
To me like that, and there, and you know who my thingy and this and that, you know I'm with... Like, she'll start saying... Like, why would a school teacher say, you know who I'm in a relationship with?
that's
like, what's that got to do with me as a young boy? Now I'm older. Now I'm an older man. I'm like,
you've deep it different, isn't it?
That teacher wanted to smoke, man.
Disgusting, though.
And you know what? I could have actually beat, you know, but like, she would put me in detention. Like, it'd be me and her. I could see, like, she wants me to leave at the end when everyone else is leaving. But I'm always like a little crafty one. I'm always in and out. Like, but I could see that there was something. I used to think she hated me. Now I'm older, I'm like, I think she actually fancied, man. Yeah. But obviously, she's a teacher. She couldn't say that to me. I know she wanted to smoke, but obviously, I wasn't even interested in her. Because one day, she was, this is how I knew the teacher was dodgy. She found out that I was going out with a girl and then came to me one day and said, I know about your relationship with this person. And I'm like, what? Like, because in school, it's not a normal thing for a teacher to get involved in. You know what I'm saying? Little school kid relationships.
Yeah.
Everyone's in a relationship.
Yeah.
You can't be involved. Why are you involved in my one? And she said something mad to me, like what was going on. And I was like, how do you even know this information? But then I was thinking, all right, if it's so bad, then like, do something in it, like about it, in it. Like, and she's like, no. And I was just like, this teacher.
There's
dodgy.
A lot of undercover grooming that goes on that we miss. And a lot of it gets missed with boy children because, you know, like, usually when a kid gets molested, more time boy children will act out in it. So...
Or either they act out or their sexuality is really
high. Like, they're over-sexualized. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But no one deeps that it's because something happened to them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? They're just seen as just the over-horny black man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The naughty black boy that's just running up and down being bad breed. But they don't know there's a bigger, deeper story behind that. But no one's even taken the time to look deep. You know, you've just judged the person. You've just judged the black man. And say, oh, he's just angry. He's just this, he's just that. And it's not that at all. And trust me, there's a lot of guys out there who have suffered, like us females have suffered in that way. And they're not speaking about it. And that's why they can't have healthy, functioning relationships.
Facts. Yeah. Another topic that I wanted to touch on, and it's a little bit touchy, this topic. But what would you say, like, so the teacher's molesting the child, but what would you say about an older woman that's, like, calling herself a cougar and having sex with lots of younger men? And using money as like a substitute of how to get them. Is that as bad as like a sugar daddy, what he does to younger girls? Like, you know, is it the equivalent of what them rich guys go to poor countries, race involved, but go to poor countries, see young little girls and want to have sex with them because they're very young.
I see, like, for example, like, you know, you might get the odd Caucasian lady that will go to them undeveloped countries and meet a guy with there and... The guy will have sex with her. Not because he really wants to, but because he needs money. Like, it's about power and control. And how do you influence that power? Do you use it in a good way or do you use it in a bad way? You know what I'm saying? Because I think that says a lot about a person. When you give a person power, how they use it says a lot about them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to go to another country and only give a guy who's in an undeveloped country money for him to sleep with me. Not because I genuinely want to help him. I have to get something from it. Nah, it's not right. It's not right. Knowing that he has to have that money so that he can eat or feed the rest of his family for that day. Like, yeah, nah. A lot of them be doing certain things and it's not because they really want to. They just don't have no choice. And I think if you're in a position of power... You shouldn't take
advantage.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I don't agree with it.
I generally feel like if you're even a man going through that right now, I feel like, or a young man going through that, don't be afraid to, like, don't think you're being like the man because you're being manipulated a lot because older women know more. Trust me.
Yeah.
They know more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they do. And so, they shouldn't be doing that.
It's not correct. The same way it's not correct when the
guy's doing it to a young girl.
Yeah, it's not correct.
It's off key. It actually annoys me so much because I feel like we don't really talk about it. And I know people be like, oh, is she a pick me girl? No, I'm not a pick me girl, but I'm stating facts. I don't have to be a pick me girl, but I'm very much an advocate for men speaking up about certain things. I'm very much an advocate for men having that space where they can honestly and safely say how they feel without it being used against them, you know, and for them to feel like they're seen. I'm not being funny. I have brothers, I have cousins, I have godsons, you know. Unfortunately, I wasn't blessed with a son, you know, but I relate differently. And a lot of people think, well, how come you're still okay with men? How come you don't have no hate to them? Because it wasn't all men that hurt me. Do you know what I'm saying? So I can't hate all men, because then it means he won. Plus, I don't believe all men are the same.
100%.
You know what I'm
saying? Except for 1%.
I believe there's some beautiful men out there that don't even know that they're so beautiful. And I can't lie. If you never hear it from any other woman, I'm going to tell you guys. I think some of you men are so dope. I think some of you men ain't given enough credit for how much you broke your backs to provide, keep a roof over your family's head, and you cry quietly and no one sees. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's very happy to take from you, but never really give back. I want all those men to feel seen. You know, all those men that suffered, even if it was just something like growing up in an abusive environment where you saw your dad batter your mom, or you saw certain things and you internalized that and you hold that pain, but nobody knows. I want you guys to be seen. I want you guys to have a voice just as much as us women have a voice and are seen. Because it's so important. How else can we cultivate healthy relationships if we keep on sweeping men's feelings and emotions under the carpet, or just people's feelings in general under the carpet? We can't grow. We have to talk about certain things and be sensitive. Be sensitive, because sometimes it might look one way and it actually ain't that way. You know what I'm saying? And if we want people to open up to us, we have to try and create safe spaces. And we're not always going to get that right, especially when most of us are coming from traumatic backgrounds. But practice makes perfect. Rome weren't built in one day, you know. I wouldn't like to think I got a son or a cousin or a nephew and they're suffering so much, even thinking of suicide and certain things, and they're not speaking about it. Like, no. Even something as little as giving compliments. You know, men don't get compliments.
I know. It's hard for a man. A man's life's hard. He doesn't even...
I make it a point to pay compliments.
Do you know some men have never actually heard that they're handsome?
Yeah. And it blows my mind. See,
me... They also say other things like, oh, you're very kind, you're very nice, but to hear that you're a handsome man, you rarely hear that. I'm not lying. Because of, like, the lineup, because of, like, me, my whole life, I've always heard that personally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's because my mum cultivated me on being a king. Like, yes. I was even telling someone, like, the music that I was raised on and what my parents would put into me, like, drew into my head, like, I was born a winner. Like, you know what I'm
saying?
That's right. So every time I lose, I always know that I'm going to win because I was born a winner. Mm-hmm. You see, I was born a winner. Not that I'm a winner. Mm. I was born one. Meaning that the day that I even came into this world, I've won.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
And everything that else has led up to it, I've won. Right. I made it through and everything. It's true. Born in Jamaica in the 80s.
That's hard life.
You see what I'm trying to say? And we came out of that and came to England.
Yeah, it's different.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Different cultures.
Like, you have to understand that man's made it. Not all people were born in Jamaica in the 80s and get a chance to come back over to England.
Yeah, facts.
Even if they got an English mum or their mum's British.
Or more time, the parents would come over and leave the kids over with their grandma or something.
That's what I'm trying to say. I was born a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but my childhood was actually good. And I keep telling people, like, I had a lit childhood. Like, it wasn't perfect. Let's get it right.
Yeah. But
I only have, like, sick memories. Like, if I was to speak about my childhood right now, this podcast would go for another 20 hours. Like, just telling you about little things like my toys and my room and my sheet. I wanted a Man United sheet. My mum bought it for me. My wallpaper was what I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, my mum, like, bust me. Like, you know, you have to really deep your life and say, well, like, definitely. I kind of had bare things, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
and if I wanted... appreciate the little things that even your parents do for you, because you don't know what they struggled, what they had to do to even provide that.
I knew what my mum did, because my mum used to bring me to the cab office. She used to work in a cab office. She used to bring me there, bro, and I used to sit there and think, why am I here?
Yeah.
But you know, I'm older, I'm like, shout out to my mum, bro. Like, she actually put in work so that her kids could eat, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, and sometimes...
And your mum is a real one, man.
You see what I'm saying?
She's such a queen. Like, when I see your mum, yeah, and your mum gives me advice, like, I always feel so good. Like, I feel better for it. I feel like I've been blessed. Like, your mum is one of those people that if you are in her presence, it's a blessing to you. Like, to me, that's like a real black queen.
Yeah.
You know, because even at uncle's funeral, I sat down and it was mad because I was sitting in the same spot where I sat when my mum's funeral was held there. And I just started bawling. And, you know, one of my aunts was sitting next to me. I'm not going to mention who it was. She doesn't, I don't know if her heart's black. I don't know if she just doesn't black heart. I know have you're any about. Emotions.
There's only one black-hearted person I know in the family.
You know, night. And... Your mum was sitting opposite the table and your mum was like, Shirley, what's wrong? What happened? And I said, Auntie, it's just being here. It's just really overwhelming. And you see, at that point, your mum wasn't like, oh, get over it. Did it like some, because some elderly people, you're wrong and strong. And there's a lot of hypocrisy. That's a topic for another podcast. I can't lie. I want to get you lot together real quick with that one. But your mum... She just said some uplifting words, you know, and I really respect that because we don't pass down the encouragement. We don't pass down the strength. We don't pass down the love, you know, and the positivity, but we're quick to pass down negative things. Like, I'm always wary of people who are so quick to be negative with their mouth, then build you up. Those kind of people scare me because I think it's not normal. Literally, it's not normal to be so quick to spit venom or negative things out of your mouth, but then you struggle with the positive things. Like, oh, you look beautiful today.
What did my mum say to you, though?
She was just telling me that, you know, life is a blessing, basically, that no matter what, you know, just keep going, you know, and my mum would be watching over there, be proud of us, you know, and just, to, you know, stay strong sort of thing. And I just respected it because I know... When it's your mum, it's come from a place of love. I know 100%, that. 100%, you know, I know 100%. It's coming from a place of Christ, like God. And I, for me, I just think it's so important. If I didn't have God, I don't know. I'd be lost in the sauce. I see a lot of people lost in the sauce, and they don't believe in the Most High. They don't believe in. You know,
it's deep because it's like scary. You can. My mum, like, she's a. If I'm honest, like. She's a very sincere person, but she's a believer in God.
Yeah. 100%.
So when she says things, it's always from a loving place. It's never from a bad man place. I've never seen my mum ever do that for me, even no, myself.
I've never
even
seen
if even if I don't like it, and it might sound a little bit mad.
Yeah. No, because you know people take advantage of it, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know it's always from a lovely place, man.
Yeah. Yeah, your mum's a blessing, trust me. She's one of my favourite aunties, literally.
Trust
when
me.
I see your mum, I'm like happy. Bitch. I'm like, Auntie Evan. Yeah. She always looks at me though like, you see, you're an Andrew. She has that look like, you see, you're Twister Rebels. I don't know, she has that look in her eye like she knows. She knows. Literally. You know? Yeah. But it's good, we need that in families. Like, I hope to be that elder person one day.
Yeah, you will be.
Like, I don't want to teach the kids the negative stuff. I don't want to teach, like, I've got three daughters. I don't want to teach my kids hate against men and certain things. Like, I just don't want to do that. I'm like, how is that helping? How is that going to help them? Like, I always rate their dad. Like, he'd probably even be shocked. Like, what you rate? Yeah, I always rate you. Like, I would say, give thanks for your dad's life. Like, he works hard. You know, you send him a message. You ask him for a little change. He does it. He gives it. No moaning. We thank God for his life. We cover him. He's not my man, but I still cover him. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the father of my children. If something happens to him, like, I'm messed up. Like, how am I gonna help my children with that?
Steep.
And that's why I want people to look at it. I get it, sometimes people mess up in relationships and our feelings do get hurt. I've been hurt. I've just come out of a relationship. But we need to think more about how we navigate through that. Are we gonna make it worse or we're gonna, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because all this negative stuff and men ain't shit and women ain't this and I don't know, man. I just don't think it's healthy. And not to say we don't want to cuss sometimes, because yes, sometimes some of you gal be moving so sideways and some of you men be moving like absolute idiots. But I was think there must be more to the story.
100%. There's always more to every story.
I try not to throw any stones, especially because I feel like my glass house is so big. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No matter how much I pray and stuff, I'm still a sinner.
100%. You know, as well.
I've done things that are displeasing to the Most High. So even when someone else does something displeasing, I try not to judge, because I believe everyone's got like a backstory. And some people, you never know. You never know what they've been through, because they mask it so well.
Facts.
Literally. Even the closest people around them don't even know them.
Trust
and
me.
I think that is sad. I wouldn't like to think that you're going through something, you're suffering internally, and you can't even tell me or your mum or one of us. Like, I don't know. There's something about that that just makes me feel so uncomfortable.
But it's real, though.
You know?
It's real.
Like,
it's real.
It's deep. I think there was a clip of yours that I saved to go back to. To like it, and you had the little boy's voice, and you know I couldn't watch it, you know, I couldn't watch that clip because it made me cry.
Yeah,
I felt it, like
I felt it as well.
Yeah, I felt it, because even with my exes, I wouldn't like to think that any of my exes were suffering at a time when we broke up, but we broke up and I'm thinking it's something different. But it was actually that you were suffering from something, but you just couldn't articulate it.
A lot of men,
you know,
that. A lot of men go through it. That voice, that little voice was, I'd say, 8 out of 10 men.
I know.
It's just that our ego and our pride will never let us say that out loud.
Yeah.
We will never internalize that like that. We just want good for the woman now, but we're not even at peace ourselves, because we're still broken from that relationship. Because a lot of men will never express how they genuinely feel after a breakup.
No.
When they do, sometimes some men do it in a manipulation way to try and get the woman back to hurt her again. But some men generally are hurt after the relationship's over.
Yeah.
I'm not one of the manipulative men that are trying to use that. They're crying, but their tears have no weight, because they're just doing it because they're trying to manipulate a woman. And there is bad things that certain men do. And I've seen men do that to women, like, they're crying and acting emotional, but it's only because they're trying to play on your heartstrings, because they know how weak your heart is.
It's like someone
knows you have a good heart, and then they're telling you, I'm going through depression. You automatically are going to overlook everything else that he's done and still let him back in on the basis of that.
Yeah.
But then how many times can someone do you dirty until you say, wait a second, you're doing that same thing that you always do. I know what game you're playing. You've done this 3 times to me now.
Three times. Yeah.
It's not like it's one time in 10 years. That can be understood.
When it's repetitive. And you know,
in short space of time as well.
Yeah.
And 1 year, he's done it 3 times?
Yeah, it's very repetitive.
Run.
Like, and the thing is, do you know, even like for me, the way I can cut off, for example, from a relationship, it will seem as if I don't really care. And it's not that at all. When I get like that, it means I've gotten to the point now where I feel like I have to protect myself from you.
100%.
And I'm not safe. And you're using my kindness against me. You're using my love that I have for you to manipulate the situation, to manipulate me. And that doesn't sit well with me. I find I even struggle with people who don't like to speak on things and give clarity. Because a lot of guys do that to women as well. And I think some women do that to men. They don't give clarity. So it's like, it's a never-ending game. I like clarity. If you don't really want to be in a relationship and you want to be free, say that. I respect it. You might think I'll be angry, but actually, I respect you more because you was honest. Do you know what
Straight
I'm saying?
Me as well. I respect
you. Or if you messed up even, you're more likely might even get another chance if you're honest. But you see, if my spirit deeps that you're lying, and then the Most High gives me a dream or something, oh, you're freaked. You're freaked. Because you didn't keep it 100. You didn't keep it a buck. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't, like, I don't respect that, you know? And there's certain things I understand about men that are different from women. I do. But at the same time, I'm like, it still doesn't justify it. It doesn't. Because I'm never going to be like, well, I'm just like this because I got abused and men hurt me. How do I sound?
Sounds crazy.
You know what I'm saying? But like, why am I making that your issue?
But then, like, I'd say, like, a man's heartbreak is deeper than a woman's. Like, as in, like, you might not realise this, but in a man's life, he will only love a few women.
Mm.
He will tell a lot of women he might love them, but there's only a select few that he will love.
Mm-hmm.
And when them women hurt him, the pain is deeper and lasts longer because he never expects it.
Mm.
With a woman, you can't expect, look at this guy, he ain't shit, I can just tell you he ain't shit. With a man, he's more lost in the world of, this woman's everything to me, and I love her, and I've never felt this feeling before, and I don't know if I'm going to heal back from this. And a lot of men don't heal from their past relationships because they didn't even go to relationship counselling or counselling in general.
Or sit down long enough to even see what went
Or was just single enough to find out what they love about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they've jumped into relationship after relationship, never actually healing.
Yeah, a lot of guys have even told me that, like, it was that one heartbreak that then just made them go, like, on a rampage,
It's the same with women, though.
Yeah, of course.
It can be that one guy that's done something to you. Like,
I'm actually scared to date. I'm going to be real. I'm scared to date.
Even like a girl that I knew, she was molested when she was younger. Mm. And that just turned her into like, she was just fucking everyone. And she didn't care.
Yeah.
She just didn't, she didn't care. And she wanted it to, she wanted the sex to be a reenactment of what happened before. As mad as that sounds.
No, it doesn't sound so mad. You know, like, everyone processes their trauma in different ways. And that's what I've learned to understand. Just because it looks a certain way doesn't mean it's that way.
So when I got with a girl, she's like, you're a pussy. And I'm like, what? Because you're not going to do it how I want you to do it. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then when, like, I really got to the bottom of it, because you see, when a girl says certain things to me, I'm looking deeper into it. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? And then I got to it and I was like, you want me to kind of, like, move to you in a certain way.
Yeah.
So that it feels normal to you because of that.
Yeah.
I said,
trauma, innit?
I said, that don't even make sense. And then she started breaking down crying.
Mm.
And I started breaking down crying. And it was a weird situation.
Mm.
And then I was like, raw, like, that was the first time a man hasn't actually done that to her.
Yeah.
So she was like, she didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Like, what have you done to me? She fell in love automatically after that. That was like, she was in love for years.
Yeah.
She's, even to this day, she probably still tell people she loved me because I was the only man to like...
be like, nah, babe.
I'm not taking advantage of her, basically. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. Not use her for what everyone's used her for.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense? So I was just like, no, I'm not going
to
do it.
It's the same with guys, you know, when they're so used to women who they have to entice or kind of prove themselves through money. You see when they move to a girl that's not swayed by that, and actually genuinely wants to know them, love them. You could be the street cleaner and she don't care. I'm that kind of girl, literally. I'm not swayed because I feel like money doesn't equate to the value of a man.
Never.
It's who he is in his heart. Like,
but you're preaching to the wrong people because
I know.
The majority of young people and people nowadays will equate a man's value to his
his
self worth.
Which is just crazy.
Meaning that, all right, a girl will say, I don't go with men who don't have cars. But some of the men that you're getting with cars are the scummiest guys on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? All right, I don't get with guys that don't have their own yards. But some of these guys that got their own yards, you don't know what they're doing in their houses.
Exactly.
It's like, find a guy that's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he has nothing or has everything, find a guy that's good for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Definitely. For me, I look at the person. I look at the heart of the person. So money, sex, all those things will not sway me, literally. I want to know you're a kind person. I want to know you will have my back. If I'm sick or something's going down, you're going to have my back and vice versa. And I think that's where I will struggle finding a relationship because I think... it's like, what do you do with a girl that's not impressed by money or easy led by sex? You know what I'm saying? What do you do with a girl like that when you've got to be talking about deep stuff and actually trying to do your healing so that we can build something tangible? Most people, like I said, they're living their best lives. It's all about lace fronts and fancy cars and money, whilst everyone's really running around traumatized. Everyone's really running around with that little kid inside of them that's just... dying to break down, but they're trying to act like they're tough and they've got it all together. We live in a mad world, and I'm really trying to like talk to the kids and change that a bit because it's very, very unhealthy. Excuse me, very unhealthy, you know? Like, you'll get some girls who you've been in a relationship for how much years, but as soon as they're out of the relationship, they're still hopping to the next one. It's like, cool your skin, the man. Settle. Take a little time to get to know yourself before you jump onto the next person. And then what you're automatically doing is just passing the trauma on. Literally. You haven't even taken time to sit down and heal yourself. You know? And then you carry that trauma into the next relationship and the issues into the next relationship, building what you think is a new house but with the same bricks that you used in your previous relationship. It can't work. Like, we need to do better, you know? We need to do so much better than what we are doing.
Trust me. Yeah, man. Shout out to all the people, though. Like, comment and subscribe, Rare Talks. You know, we're back. Make sure you follow my cousin. Tell them what your at is.
At DivineLady23 on Instagram, and it's at Let Your Voice Be Heard 23 on